And joining us this morning on the Trocare College Live Line, we're speaking with Bruce Fisher about all of the different political implications that came out of primary day, and there's a lot of them to get to. Bruce, thanks for being on with us this morning. I want to start locally. Sean Ryan, the endorsed Democrat, wins the Buffalo mayoral primary, and we're still kind of waiting to see who will or will not be on the ballot in November. Now, I think the big question that I've kind of had is, what does winning a primary do after what we saw 4 years ago? Or is 4 years ago just an anomaly where you had Byron Brown lose the primary to India Walton, then win in November on a write-in campaign? Does it go to show that the race is far from over, or should we not pay as much attention to that and look at it as more of an anomaly?
Oh, I think 4 years ago is a replica of 1977. Only a couple of us are old enough to remember when things weren't very settled by the end of the Democratic primary. Look, the overwhelming majority of voters in the city of Buffalo are registered Democrats, and Sean Ryan so far outperformed the acting mayor, young Scanlon, that I don't think that there's a pathway for Scanlon to try to do what either Jimmy Griffin did or what Byron Brown did. I mean, look, there is a Republican candidate who's not going to get off the ballot this time. That's number one. The Republican committee has made it very clear that they're going to stick with Attorney Gardner. So I don't think that that is going to be a replay of the last go round.
Now, Scanlon is taking some time after the primary loss. He's not said whether he'll continue. He could run as a third-party candidate, but how do you read his mindset right now? The longer he takes, is that a sign that he's getting back in or not?
Well, he certainly has the option to get in. I've talked to people who know him, but one doesn't know the internal workings of the candidate's mind at this point. I mean, look, the fact is that Sean Ryan, state senator, performed well in 6 out of 9 districts. He performed well in his base, which is the Delaware District, the sort of north central part of the city, and on the west side in the Niagara District. But he also outperformed both of the two black candidates in the solidly black neighborhoods of Ellicott and Maston and University. So he has a base there. He's been endorsed by the state senator from the east side, Senator April Baskin, and he's pulled the Democratic coalition together. Surprisingly, the turnout was under 30% in the Democratic primary. That's unfortunate that so few people were engaged, but those who were, including South Buffalo, voted enormously, proportionally, for by 11 points for Sean Ryan. So look, I don't think that the Republican candidate has much traction. I don't think he's going to go away. It's very different than in New York City, where Republicans might go for the incumbent mayor, Eric Adams, because they don't like the Democratic nominee. I don't think that that playbook is going to be useful in Buffalo in the fall.
So you don't see... There have been some question if Chris Scanlon does continue this race into November. We spoke with James Gardner earlier this week, and he kind of seemed to think, well, you know, if Chris Scanlon and Sean Ryan split the vote, there's a real path to victory here. Other people would say, well, Sean Ryan, there's an easy path to victory if Chris Scanlon and James Gardner split a lot of this vote. But you don't really see, you know, that three-way race making that much of a difference.
No, not at all. Not at all. Ryan has pulled together a pretty good performance in the Democratic coalition already. The overwhelming majority of voters in Buffalo are registered Democrats. What he didn't win in the South District, he won by a long margin, big margin in more populous parts of the city. So, you know, look, the former police commissioner, Whitfield, who's running, he's not going to get out of the race either. But he Wyatt, Rashid Wyatt, together only pulled 8% of the vote. Well, so what does that tell you? It tells you that Ryan has traditional Democratic voters. He has the support of the of the clubs and the coalitions and the other elected officials. This is a demonstration of party unity. So onward to the fall. I just don't expect that if Chris Scanlon runs, that he has much of a prospect of getting much more than he got already.
Bruce, I want to get your take on the New York City mayoral primary, which was pretty stunning. You know, Zoran Mamdani handily defeating Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo did not drop out of the race, but he also said while he's staying in, he's not committed to running an active general election campaign. What do you make of all of that?
I've looked carefully at this. I've had some very interesting and contentious discussions with folks. I mean, look, all politics is local. However, folks outside of New York City are seeing the Democratic nominee, the 33-year-old son of a hugely successful filmmaker. young Mamdani pulled together a coalition that really was focused on two things. Number one, they are overwhelmingly young people who voted. Actually, young people came out and voted this time. And number two, the folks who voted for him said in the exit polling that their main concern was what Mamdani was talking about, which is their ability to afford living in the big city. When Mamdani went out there and promised that he would try to make the bus system free, some folks, traditional Democrats, more conservative, older Democrats, said, "Well, that's irresponsible. How are you going to pay for that?" Well, I've done a lot of research on you know, I used to teach urban affairs at Buffalo State College for almost 20 years. And, you know, folks don't realize that, you know, it is kind of normal in big cities for at least part of public transit to be free, because the transit system works better if more people use it and people have more money in their pockets to spend on the day-to-day necessities if they're you know, not shelling out $3 every time they hop on the subway. So the fact that Mamdani was able to articulate that and explain it as a reasonable thing meant that here's the contrast. The contrast is between old Cuomo, who has a lot of baggage, you know, people like him, and this young, fresh face. So the young, fresh face attracted a lot of young, fresh-faced people who are interested in their pocketbooks. And that apparently worked better Mamdani than for any other candidate. Multi-candidate field, by the way. Holy cow, did you see how many people were running? I mean, you know, very, very big turnout, much contrast with Buffalo. The ethnic factor worked for him, too. Why? Not because he's a Shia Muslim. There aren't very many Shia Muslims in New York City. But the fact that he looked like a lot of the people who were deciding to vote this time. He didn't look like you know, an Upper West Side rich guy. He didn't look like a borough politician. He was a fresh face. So this phenomenon may just be New York, but people around the country should pay attention. You know, Ruben Gallego, the new senator from the state of Arizona, ran on some of these same issues, affordability. Donald Trump ran on the issue of affordability. How can we pay for life?
You know, I found it was interesting. You brought up some of these demographics, Bruce, in the race. And I don't know if they would make sense to a lot of people who haven't been following this very closely. Mamdani won with, it looks like he had a lead in majority white precincts by 5 points and Hispanic precincts by 6 points. Andrew Cuomo easily winning voters in middle-class black neighborhoods, those in lower-class neighborhoods, young professionals voting for Mamdani. I mean, these demographics, they might not exactly line up with everyone's traditional thinking of where people align.
Exactly. And that's the interesting mosaic, the fascinating mosaic of New York that's kind of difficult to explain to the rest of the country. I mean, New York is the most has the largest number of Jewish voters outside of Jerusalem or Haifa in Israel, I think. So why is it that a guy who is sort of pro-Palestinian, why is he attracting middle class and younger Jewish voters? And the answer is in the peculiar politics of New York, the special sort of adjacencies of these communities in New York, there's a different conversation about this, these issues. There's more nuance. And the fact is that Mamdani really did have a generational appeal. I mean, the contrast is between 67-year-old Andrew Cuomo, whose name everybody knows, and a 33-year-old fresh face. You know, yeah. Oftentimes, it's real simple stuff like that that makes political change happen.
Mamdani,
if this was a change election in Buffalo because people didn't want more of the same city hall, that's one version of the change message. In New York, it was the old guy versus the new guy.
Mamdani was everywhere. He was in the streets. He had crowds of people following him. He went on podcasts. He ran a campaign that was a lot more. I mean, it reminded you of the presidential campaign. Mamdani was Trump. And Harris or Biden, you know, whichever candidate you wanted to make the comparison to, was kind of like Cuomo, who did very little. He did a couple campaign events, but relied on big money and donors and just kind of thought, all right, this thing will kind of run itself.
Mamdani ran a TikTok. He ran a TikTok campaign.
Does this have more to do with the campaign than it does the message?
Well, the campaign is the message. The message that Cuomo was presenting was respected by a lot of people who know him and who trust him. But the excitement came about from the young person using new media and talking about the things that really hit people in their own pockets. I mean, that's what folks outside of New York City don't get about AOC. You know what? Why is somebody who talks about universal health care popular among middle class working people who are struggling to pay the rent? Oh, you know, figure it out. She's talking about the pocketbook issues. The pocketbook issues are winning these days because, frankly, despite the promises of the new president, pocketbook issues haven't changed. So the Democrats are waking up to the fact that they've got to be a little bolder. And they shouldn't worry about being characterized as being radical when they talk about getting to work and paying the bills.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, Bruce, great talking with you this morning. Thank you.